God never intended his children to become the recipients of abusive behavior. Whether it's emotional, sexual, or physical, no one should be victimized by a selfish family member who's living in sin. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Genesis chapter 45, where we find the familiar story of Joseph and his jealous brothers. Woven throughout this tragic story are threads of God's grace and triumph. It's an encouraging lesson for anyone who's suffering under the crushing memory of exploitation. We pick up the story in Pharaoh's palace. Chuck titled his message, An Abused Man and His Brothers.
Pharaoh has dreams. He can't find the answers. He gets word that there's an inmate in one of the prisons that might be able to help. And Joseph comes and stands before Pharaoh and gives him the answer. A famine is coming. You must store up grain because it will be a famine that covers the earth. You must be prepared. And Pharaoh knows this is the correct interpretation. So out of the blue, read it for yourself. Chapter 41, verse 37. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? That's Pharaoh talking. Hey, this guy's got the Spirit of God. Listen to these answers. God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you. Clearly, no one else is so intelligent or wise. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Here's an epical event no one could have imagined. Here's a man still in inmate garb, hearing, you will be sitting on my throne or beside me on my throne. Only I will have a position higher. Verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Whoa! Head spinning. But that's not all. Look, he pulled his signet ring from his hand and he placed it in Joseph's hand and said, the wealth is all yours. Spend it. You're in charge. He dressed him in linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted. The Hebrew says, bow the knee, bow the knee. You're in the presence of second in command, the prime minister of the land. Pharaoh said to him, I'm Pharaoh. No one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Here he is, dressed like royalty, having gone through all of that that was so unfair and undeserved. He's now sought out, admired, honored and promoted by the Pharaoh of Egypt. The famine spread through all the earth, last verse of the chapter. So when their daddy named Jacob heard there was grain in Egypt, when you begin to read chapter 42, he sends his boys to Egypt to get the grain they need to survive. So they're standing there with their hat in their hand, and they're begging for food, and Joseph is back here, finally can't take it any longer. Look at 45. Verse 1, he could stand it no longer, sent everybody out of the room. He's alone with his brothers. Is this great or what? Is this terrific moment? And then he says, in the simplest of Hebrew terms that they could understand, because up until now he's been speaking Egyptian through an interpreter. Now he says, I'm Joseph. That is the last thing they wanted to hear. The guy in charge of the grub has a great big dagger hanging from his hip. Who's going to be first? And their guilt is overwhelming. But he says, don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves. Isn't that an amazing statement? Who's the one that's supposed to be angry? The abused. Unless, of course, his God's greater than his pain. Look at what he says. Here's the reason I tell you not to be angry or fearful. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve lives. You weren't in charge. You thought you were, but you weren't. God brought me here to be the manager of Pharaoh's land, and he made me master over all of it. God's responsible for my promotion. Who am I to judge you? Look, I have a chance to feed the world with grain because of God who has been at work in my life. In fact, he says it down in verse 9, end of the verse, God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. Verse 12, then Joseph added, look, come up here close. You can see for yourselves that I really am Joseph. Look, probably pulled his headpiece off. Look closely. I'm your brother. But the best part of all, I am here because of what God has done in spite of you. I'm the recipient of his matchless, marvelous, infinite grace in delivering me from what could have been the ruining of my life. These brothers wonder when the next shoe is going to fall. And it never falls. Why? Because God gave Joseph a long-range view and delivered him from the narrow tunnel of his past. This is the same man who was hated by his siblings, same man who was abandoned and sold, same man who was falsely accused of rape, same man thrown in prison, left to die unfairly, same man who was forgotten by the fellow inmates, same one who had the chance to get even. But chapter 50 gives us his script where he says, am I God that I can punish you? Listen closely. When you take the role of punishment of another, you take God's place. You be really careful about that. You be careful about that. Joseph goes, hands off. You intended it for evil. You meant to harm me. God didn't. God intended it not only for your good, so you could survive, but for the good of the world, that they might eat and survive. Because I will be in charge of the granary, and I've got the ring, and I'll sign it off to whoever needs the food. Had all of that not occurred, I would not be here. I don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve either the forgiveness, but it's all of grace. Let me tell you something. This is the one concept the brothers can't fathom. See, had they been in his place, why? You know what would have happened. But now that the roles are reversed and they are at the mercy of this brother they've harmed, and he offers what they can't fathom, getting what they don't deserve. He says, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? Oh, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. So don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Next verse, he lived to be 110, still taking care of them, still treating them kindly, never once, not once, retaliating. Don't tell me it can't be done. Don't tell me you're too far gone. God is never too far gone. He's never run out of power. God is the infinite God of heaven. He alone has the right to punish. Joseph says, I'm not God. I serve him, and his plan is to preserve you. Our people go on. And on, and on, and all the way to the end, they still are afraid. Why? Their lives have never been marked by grace. They can't grasp it. You know what occurred to me as I brought all of this to a head in my study? Maybe you can't identify with Joseph. I have a hard time. I admire him, but I kind of stand in awe of him. You know who I identify with? The brothers. So do you. So do we. Because we rehearse our lives and realize the wrongs we've done. The failures, the inappropriate treatment, the ugly words, the times we've retaliated, gotten even. And along comes this gracious, loving God of heaven who says, that's why I sent my son. Because there's no way you're going to dig yourself out of that hole. You're sunk. But when he went to that cross, and when he died and paid your penalty, Your sin penalty, he took care of it all, past, present, future. But you know, most people, they're like the brothers. Don't hit me, God. You know, be merciful. He is. His son came for us, died for us, and says to us, I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to offer you relief. I love the way Frederick Buechner writes of grace. Listen to his words. Grace is something you can never get, but only be given. There's no way you can earn it or deserve it or bring it about any more than you can deserve the taste of raspberries and cream or earn good looks or bring about your own birth. You can't do it. A crucial part of the Christian faith is the assertion that people are saved by grace. There's nothing you have to do. He repeats, changes the emphasis. There's nothing you have to do. He repeats, changes emphasis. There is nothing you have to do. I think he's trying to get his point across. That's grace. So quit trying to do it. Quit thinking you need to clean up, fix up, change up, so you can somehow make God smile and go, woo, nice. You're one of the brothers. Your debt's huge. The only way you and I are going to make it is to realize our Joseph went to the cross and opened the door for us to come to God. So Buechner ends with, there's only one catch. Like any other gift, the gift of grace can be yours only if you reach out and take it. Then he adds, maybe being able to reach out and take it is a gift too. I always have wondered if the brothers beyond Joseph's death, we read of it in the end of this chapter where he dies at age 110. I wonder if even then they got free of the guilt. How long will it take you? If you have been an abused victim, how long will you stay on the hard mat and plan to retaliate when you get a chance? Since God's gears grind slowly and exceedingly fine, and you get your comeuppance. You waiting for that? What a miserable way to live. I'll tell you, if you're waiting for that, you are one bitter soul. Joseph didn't. So he offers to his brothers the same grace God gave him, and they struggle with receiving it. How long will it take you to reach out and accept his grace? How long? How many more sermons? How many more Sundays? How many more offers? Because you only have this many years in light of eternity to make that decision? Now. Do it now. Now. Bow with me. You can be that epical event, and you maybe never have thought of that before, by taking God's gift, your whole lifestyle can change. Your whole reason for living. Throw your list away. Get rid of the just wait till I have my moment thoughts. And realize God took care of it all when he gave us his son, Jesus. Just take him now. Just take the offer. Just take it. Dear Father, Father of grace, God of glory, Master of life, Planner of all that is good and best, hear us today as we bring our broken selves before you, knowing all that we have done that has been wrong, but willing to let it all fall on the Savior, Jesus, as he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. Relieve us, our Father, of ongoing guilt, perpetual bitterness, the feeling that we somehow must wait for the moment that's ours to strike back, that we might become a contrast to what we see around us all the time, that we might be models of people who are recipients of your grace, and that grace has erased us from all desire to get even and filled us with great joy and relief and hope. Dear Father, I pray for those especially who have been abused and all the unfairness and wrong of it. Show them that it's all under the covering of your blood, and you're able to get them through it by your grace. Now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before your presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Through Christ, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And the conclusion of Chuck Swindoll's 3-day study about an abused man and his brothers. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. We know that some are listening to Chuck teach today with a heavy heart because you've been on the receiving end of someone's brutal behavior. Whether or not you're a victim, all of us know someone who suffered at the hands of a perpetrator. Please join us in praying that God would rescue those who suffer and give them a tangible reminder of his power and love. And then, as God prompts you to support Insight for Living, we welcome your partnership with us as well. In fact, we boldly invite you to step forward and give, because we know God will use your generosity to touch lives with the truth of his word. One of the best ways to engage with Insight for Living is by becoming a monthly companion. Our monthly companions give a donation every month in the amount that suits them. Signing up is simple and efficient. The quickest way is to go online to this dedicated page, insight.org/monthly companion. Or if you prefer, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. And one of our ministry representatives will be happy to walk you through the process. That number again, 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. In closing, remember, we've created a number of alternative methods for hearing Chuck's teaching. Insight for Living has a mobile app where the program is easily accessed. You can also automatically download the daily podcast. along with the Searching the Scriptures study notes, so Chuck's Bible teaching is preloaded into your mobile device. For all the details, go to insight.org/listen.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 1st through 12th, 2020, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, our attention turns from Joseph to David. Hear Chuck Swindoll describe another epical event. Wednesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, An Abused Man and His Brothers, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.